Raised Rowdy.
All right, guys, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. I'm Nikki T.
And I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we have a very special guest, Mr. Sean Stemley, here back with us.
What's up?
What's up, man?
Ozon, that's how you say it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We were wondering how.
I was like,
I'm pretty sure it's Ozan or Ozon or.
I'm just happy you guys are talking about me.
Yeah. Hey, that's what it's all
about. What up, dog?
Look at Sean. Mm-hmm. He has a watch on, too.
Yeah. Hey, watch friends.
Yeah, I'm not me today, but.
I only wear it whenever I'm on a camera.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Hell yeah.
Kurt's been, how long have you been a watch guy now?
I don't know, man. Maybe a couple years or something. That's like, being a watch guy, it's like, it's such a deep well. People spend crazy amounts of money on stuff.
I can't afford to be a watch guy.
Yeah, it's no way. I mean, it's like if you're Ed Sheeran, then that's one thing. Yeah, but we're not there yet.
Yeah,
I have a few watches, but Kurt says that my tism makes it so that I can't wear them all the time.
Yeah, he takes them on and off constantly all the time.
So. I don't blame you. Mine's what does it say? What time it is? It says it's 12:40.
Yeah, close enough.
Not the time.
On the 19th.
Hell yeah.
Close enough.
All right, September 2nd, though. Yeah. 3:22. Here we go.
I got a lot of twisting to do on this thing.
Yeah. I have, you know, like ticks or whatever you want to call it, the ADD things, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And when I wear hats, if you ever, like, watch me with a hat, I'm, like, constantly moving it around.
Now you said that my head's itching.
Yeah. I'm, like, constantly moving it around.
Yeah.
It's like one of my things.
I do that every time I grow my beard out.
Yeah.
I'm like constantly brushing it and like figuring out how to make it grow faster.
Yeah.
Like doing this all the time. Because I read online one time this helps it grow if you just do this.
Man, mine must be growing like crazy.
So I'll be sitting at the airport doing this. Everybody's like,
what are you doing? Like,
yeah.
Whenever I grow my beard out, which is always, it's like, I just get guys coming up to me all the time. They're like, how do you grow that beard? I'm like, you just don't shave. That's how it works, really.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to say. It's not like chicks that come up to me. It's like guys.
It's easy once you get past the itchy part.
Yeah.
Like, at first, when you first start growing it, it's like itchy. But you've had a beard. I've never seen you without one.
It's been a minute, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I don't know if I ever have either, honestly.
It's probably been like 2014 or something. I was like, had a couple beers, came home from the bar and like with the trim it and.
Don't do that.
Yeah. We don't do that anymore.
I don't blame you.
I couldn't grow mine until I was like 30. So
me neither.
Once I was like, I'm like, all right, that's it.
We're all grown men in here now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always said I was going to wait till I was like around 30 to actually try.
Yeah.
Because I was just trying to look young before that.
Mm-hmm. Looking good, bro.
Thing. Thank you, man.
Dude, looking big too, by the way.
Well, that's what happens whenever you marry somebody that's a good cook.
Yeah.
Golly.
She got that protein for you.
Man, I'll tell you what. Sourdough bread every day and whatnot.
Ooh, I love that.
Love that.
Yeah.
Kurt's been on his fitness jersey.
Nick's like, you want to eat lunch or do you want to eat your macros or whatever? Like, it's like I have a bag of macros at the house that I eat.
He's like, it's like tofu and then
beans and shit. What do you got? Some sort of shake over there? What's that?
It's just a shaker cup.
Yeah.
Just a cup.
Just with hydration stuff.
Oh, gotcha.
My wife makes me take.
Hell yeah.
Because she knows I don't drink enough water. You know, the gallon a day type thing.
Yeah. That's important, man.
That's what they say. It is important.
We had one of our video guys was a gallon of milk a day guy.
Oh. Gallon of milk.
Yeah. That's like, people do that to bulk up. It's like thousands and thousands of calories of milk.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. It's haggard, bro.
I think I'd foul my handles.
Yeah.
I'd foul my handles for sure.
I don't know what I would do.
The only good one is A2 milk. That's that Jesus milk.
Yeah,
that's that good stuff.
Jesus milk?
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know. I read this thing on Instagram that was talking about it. And it was
best
like,
place to get your fitness.
This is the closest thing to what Jesus would have drank. And I've just been calling it Jesus milk ever since.
Boy.
It has way less sugar.
Yeah. I remember when I was a kid watching my dad drink milk all the time. And thinking, like, what's going on? And then when I got older, he was like, that's for my heartburn. I was like, oh. So instead of Tums, he would drink milk. And I was like, adults just drink milk all the time. Yeah.
Both?
Yeah, he was like, I just drink milk because, like, all the sauces give me heartburn. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. You're getting old, bro. Fucking sucks.
It's not the best, but it's better than the alternative.
All that food up there in Pennsylvania, probably.
Yeah.
All them, what do y'all got? What's, like, the Pittsburgh special?
The sandwich is a Permani sandwich.
Permani?
Yeah, which is...
I've never heard of it.
It is like Italian white bread, meat of choice, French fries on the sandwich, coleslaw without all the sloppiness.
No wonder he had heartburn, bro.
Yeah, dude.
That's haggard.
Yeah.
Coleslaw and then what?
Italian bread.
coleslaw and fries on the sandwich.
On the sandwich. So it's basically the whole meal.
I never heard of nothing like that.
On a sandwich.
That is wild.
Here's what I'll say about Permanis. Permanis is good when you have drank a lot the night of and you're going like late time to get it.
That's everything, though.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Denny's tastes good at that time.
Yeah. That's what I'm like. You know, we're taking actually Burrill up to Pittsburgh this weekend. We're leaving tomorrow. And it's going to be his first time in Pittsburgh.
I thought he was from there, too.
No, he's from New York.
Oh.
Yeah.
Even farther.
Yep. So he's like, I can't wait to get a Permani sandwich. I'm like, I don't know if you're going to love it, bro.
Like, I mean,
you gotta do it once.
Yeah, I
eat weird stuff, so I probably like that. Like,
yeah.
I like mixing stuff together.
It is good. It's just not like when you go and you get like chicken parm from somewhere that's known for chicken parm or like you get pizza from New York.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. This is more like a novelty almost, you know? Yeah. It's not that it's bad. It's still good. It's just not like you're like, oh, yeah, I get it.
I thought you were going to say like a version of a Philly cheesesteak or something, but that was not the case.
Honestly, I'd rather have a cheesesteak, and I might lose my Pittsburgh card for this, than a Permani sandwich. And they're really good cheesesteaks in Pittsburgh, too. Honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't remember what we ate whenever. Last time I was there was whenever I talked to you on the river.
Oh, man, the first podcast.
Yeah, whenever you had like a tape recorder or something.
Yeah, H4.
Probably damn, wasn't a tape recorder. That's old school.
Oh, it's super old school. Yeah. You were up there opening for Chris Lane at Tequila Cowboy, like one of the shows there. That was early of Tequila Cowboy being open up there, too.
That was like 2004.
Are they still
not
open?
Not then, but yeah, it was
still
early.
Open?
Tequila Cowboy's still open, yeah. They opened an Al Dean's across the way, too. So, like, same company, you know.
Really?
Yep. So they got
that was the shortest stage I've ever played.
Yeah,
you're like dang near eye level with the people. It's awkward.
Yeah, it
no
is.
No one's
short.
Eye level with you, bro.
No.
Fuck off.
It was just like the stage is like this high off.
Yeah.
It's like, that's strange that like this is like an entertainment bar and they built it like that. But
it's like dance floor / stage. Yeah. So they can't put it too high or all the drunk girls will fall off.
That's true, though. But just makes it easier for people to put their drinks down and all that stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Man, I saw a lot of cool shows there and a lot over at Stage E, which is right next door to it. That was like the hub. You'd go to Stage E and then you'd go to Tequila Cowboy after, or like you'd go to Tequila Cowboy when they'd have shows like what you guys had.
Yeah.
You know, where it was like, you know, not just a cover band and stuff, but it's fun having that in Pittsburgh. We're actually going to be going to a Pirates game, so I'll probably stop in and show that to Burrill too, you know. Yeah. Like, here's, like, our version of the two Broadway bars, you know?
Are you a Pirates fan?
I wasn't the biggest baseball fan, honestly. I was more, like, Steelers.
Yeah.
Penguins hockey. And then Pitt football. So I'd say Pirates were probably my fourth in town out of
four.
You
chose hockey over baseball in
America?
Man,
I'll tell you what. The Penguins are really good at hockey.
Yeah.
So, like, when I was a kid, Mario Lemieux was on the team. And he was the best player in the league.
I don't know
then.
Who that is.
Yeah, same.
So, Mario Lemieux...
I know Gretzky.
At that time, it was Gretzky, Lemieux. So, like, Gretzky was the guy that scored more goals. He was smaller. Lemieux was, like, the natural freak athlete guy that, like, got injured more often. And, but he was also elite. Like, for 10 years, he was the best player in the league, kind of vibe, you know? So, growing up as a kid, it was like the best player in the league played for your team. You were like, okay. And
that's definitely like a northern thing. Like, y'all are into hockey.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah. It was cold enough that you could play hockey there, you know?
Outside.
That's what I'm saying.
Technically, you can play anywhere, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I never played ice hockey because we didn't have a rink like growing up, but I played deck hockey, and my older brothers did too.
What is that?
So it's basically just instead of you're on ice, you're just on like a plastic thing.
Deck hockey.
Yeah. And so you're just running instead of skating.
Okay.
So you were getting...
So like soccer with a stick.
Exactly. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. If you played soccer but had, you know, your gear on for hockey.
Wow.
So, yeah, just
you still check each other?
Oh, yeah. I was a goon because I was little.
Okay, so now it's like football kind of.
Never Gooner.
Played. Yeah. No,
yeah, hex the soccer thing. It's like football with a stick.
Yeah. I was in seventh grade when I played, and I was on... My brother was in ninth grade, so we played on his team. So I was significantly smaller than everyone else on the team. So the refs just wouldn't call penalties on me. So the goalie would be like, Nick, clear the crease. And I'd just go over and then just whack the dude in the shin with the stick. And I'm like, I don't know, a foot smaller than that. So they were like, whatever. And then the guy that I was hacking in the leg with the stick would like toss me, and then they'd give him a penalty. You know? It was
somebody told me to clear the crease. I wouldn't know what to think of that. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
I'd be like,
you're like, that's a strange thing to say.
That could be crazy.
Yeah, but sports were, I mean, of course, in Pittsburgh, just a big part of life.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's like that everywhere, you know.
Kentucky basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah.
They're not even, I mean, they're not great anymore.
Yeah. But I'm sure growing up, that was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, big.
That was big.
And
Indiana basketball, too.
For sure.
But you had to have played football or something growing up, right?
Not really. I played baseball.
Oh, that's right. I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of country singers that played baseball. Jameson Rogers played. Brett Young was a pitcher.
Was he really? I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And someone else, too. I forget who else. But there's sort of a
Jordan Walker
tall pitcher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What did you play?
First base.
First base. Yeah.
Hit them dingers.
Yeah. Yeah. I was first whenever I got like big.
Mm-hmm.
I was like 260 something pounds freshman year, high school.
Damn, that's fucking huge, bro.
Yeah. My mom's a great cook. So.
Hey, you got to keep him around, you know?
Yeah. I know.
How tall were you back then?
As a freshman in high school?
Yeah.
Like 6'1".
Yeah. Still real big.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I've always been like a little bit bigger. I like grew steadily. I wasn't one of those kids that like grew in
steadily.
Exactly. Exactly. And all right. Those kids that grew like in like 7th and 8th grade.
Yeah.
And they were like big this, big that, like Big Mike. There was a dude on school named Big Mike.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like 6'2". But by the end of high school,
everybody was that.
When did you get into playing music?
I started singing whenever I was 19 or 20, and I didn't pick up a guitar until about 23.
Yeah.
So, like, in college, or?
I didn't go to college.
Oh, yeah.
No.
College age.
My plan was to be on a tractor my whole life, mm-hmm. but I didn't, like, I knew that I could sing a little bit. There's a difference between being able to sing and making a living out of it.
True.
Completely
absolutely.
Unrealistic. Nobody where I'm from does this.
Right.
So
yeah,
I was
totally
just like, okay,
thing.
Okay, like, I guess I can do it, but I'm not really going to make anything out of it. So it'll just be like a thing.
A hobby.
And so, then a buddy
of mine. How did it go from that to where you're at now?
A buddy of mine named Austin Peckham asked me to come to Nashville and like check out the songwriting scene. And I had never been to Nashville, even though I grew up 2.5 hours from here.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't really travel that much. I just worked all the time. But I had that weekend off. And I came here, and we went to the OG listening room.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember listening to this dude named Adam something. I can't remember his last name. He had glasses.
No.
But
Hamburg,
like I heard him like playing songs that he wrote himself. And I was like, that sounds fun. I think I might be able to do that. I went back home. My stepdad had this old Alvarez, like just cheap guitar. And I just spent every night trying to teach myself how to play it.
Yeah.
Till my fingers would bleed. I knew I had to like get them calloused or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'd spend all night doing that and then get up at 5 a.m. to work every day and then spend all night doing that again. And before I knew it was 8 months into that stuff. And I was just like, man, I got to choose something here. Like, because I can't keep doing both. I was like, I'm 23 years old. I might as well try it. And it was the scariest thing I've ever done, telling my grandpa I was leaving. Because I was supposed to take over the family business and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, took the jump. I've been here ever since.
Yeah. Man, I remember when you got to town, and honestly, the buzz, like, came quick, you know? And, like, Georgia, I remember everybody talking about that song, like, right when it came out.
Yeah, I didn't even like it whenever I wrote it. That's how all my, like, successful, like, in my eyes, songs have done. Like, I don't like them at first.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird thing. Yeah, we recorded that. My old manager, like, we recorded it in his spare bedroom in his house. We spent $600 on it.
Yeah.
It was, like, half the money I had left in my bank account.
It's crazy how that all goes sometimes.
I know, man. But that's the song that did it, though.
It started the journey.
Pub deal and record deal and all that stuff.
Yeah.
We played one showcase in Nashville.
Crazy.
I was fortunate with that stuff. But whenever I first moved here, I was told that your network is your net worth.
Mm-hmm.
So I just networked like a son of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, like, every Monday and Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
go out. It took a while to get adjusted to that, the Monday and Tuesday thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I still feel that. Like, I mean, I'm old now, so I don't count nearly as much, but we have too many events. We're actually like kind of taking the number of events we do down, which is going to be great.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a quality over or quantity, or quality over quantity thing?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's smart.
Yeah, man. I think it's the right move for us, and it's going to be a great great thing.
And it builds like more exclusivity. You know what I'm saying? Like it's only every once in a while instead of like every week.
Yeah. Yep, yep. So we're excited for that. But, I mean, some of our first and most successful events have had you on it. I mean, you were on one of our first writers rounds. I think I had you play before I was even in town, like on a pop-up that we did.
Yeah.
And then we had you play like our first Whiskey Jam Takeover too. Or no, second Whiskey Jam Takeover.
Whenever it was still at Winners?
Yeah. Yep, yep.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yep.
That seems like a lifetime ago.
It kind of was, bro. Like,
but it really wasn't like crazy. What was it, 4 years
ago? 5 years ago?
Was that pre-COVID?
Yeah, it was pre-COVID. So right before COVID. Yeah, 6 years ago. It's crazy how fast time goes. But it
really does, dude. After you get like late 20s, it just starts like flying.
Mm-hmm. Rolling. Yeah.
Totally.
I would like to say that I had more memories of my late 20s, but I don't have a lot of them.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, no shit.
Me too.
It happens, but
I did a lot of cool things and I don't even remember them.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, man, like that's part of the journey too, I think. You know, it's like figuring out what you're passionate about and what you want to make out of your life. You know what I mean? And the decisions that you make from there forward are the ones that really matter. Yeah. You know,
honestly. I was always like not the same as everybody where I'm from.
Yeah.
I just had to figure it out a little bit.
Yeah.
I would have never guessed it would be singing.
Yeah.
Ever.
That's how it works.
Nobody in my family does it. Like, I didn't have a background with it or anything. I just loved music. Like, I grew up on classic rock, and then I started buying my own CDs at Coconuts, you know, like Stained and Linkin Park and POD, stuff like that.
Hell yeah.
I grew up on more rock than anything, and then I got into country when I was like 16 or so, and then kind of just
go from there.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you this, like, from even the early days, like, your performances on stage seemed like you'd been doing it forever. When I get to see stuff.
Thank you, man.
You know, whether that's acoustic or it's, you know, the full band set, I feel like you thrive in as well, you know.
It's fun to me. Yeah. I just have a good time with it. Like, the nerves come more from, like, stuff, like, in this manner than they do on a stage.
Yeah.
Like, singing music is just, like, fun.
Yeah.
No doubt, man. I love being on stage. If I'm prepared. You know,
you're on the big stages too. The really big ones.
Crazy ones.
Yeah.
You got some shows coming up or anything you want to?
Just here and there.
Yeah.
Just stuff that makes sense we take and
go from there.
Yeah. I'm kind of in like a writing mode right now. And I'm doing this independently, so I only want to take on so much.
Yep.
I'm also trying to navigate the whole being married while doing it thing.
Absolutely.
Like,
it's a different game.
Congrats, man.
Thank you, man. Yeah. I'm trying to navigate like how to be gone a lot, if that makes sense.
Yeah, how much do you want to be on the road? And,
yeah,
you know, how long in a row do you want to be gone in a row?
If it was up to me, I'd be on the road just about every weekend, but, like, with a big team and bus and stuff that. Like, but we're still grinding it out.
Dude, that's
in the stages
about
before that.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, let's talk about the music that you released recently, and then we'll get into some new stuff coming down the line as well. So you got Need Yours, which is one of the newest singles. Why don't we touch on that a little bit?
I wrote that song on my first writer's retreat, like early 2019 in Florida somewhere. I don't even remember where it was exactly. It was on a beach in Florida. That's all I know.
Man, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I just like, I've had it in my catalog forever and I just like never related enough to it
because
I drank. The song's about like not needing all that stuff, but needing a girl.
Yeah.
And I just never related to it enough
to
cut it. And then after I quit drinking alcohol, I related to it. So,
yeah.
And that's whenever I met my wife. So I was like, well, this fits now, you know. But at the time, it was just a made up story. It's like I was almost like manifesting something accidentally. Yeah. I don't know.
That happens more than you'd think. We hear people literally earlier today talk about that as well.
Yeah.
So
it's a thing, man. I have a couple songs like that where I talk about sobriety, and I definitely was not sober at the time.
Yeah.
Like, far from it.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, it's a cool one, man. I had a good time recording it. It turned out pretty good.
How's sobriety been for you, man? Like, I know you've been on that journey now for a while. Has it been challenging, or has it been like easier than you thought, or somewhere in between?
I'd say it's more challenging. It was very challenging at first mentally, like, because I drank a lot of alcohol. I'm talking like, I quit for a reason, because I had to, or else I'd probably die. Mm-hmm. I'd probably been dead by now, honestly. But it's more like tough at this point on a social standpoint.
Yeah.
Because like this town and this industry like revolves around that. So
it is tough.
Whenever you give up alcohol, you stop getting invited to stuff and like this and that. And at first I was bothered by it, but now I'm just like, I never found my peace doing that anyways.
Yeah.
I spend most of my free time now like in the woods and on the rivers and stuff.
Yeah, and realistically, dude, like that's where you spent it in your early days before you were in town and stuff anyway, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of back to your roots.
I needed it out of my life. I didn't know if it would be permanent or what, but I don't know. I still don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't even think about it anymore. Yeah. Like after a certain amount of time, you just like don't.
That's think great, about though.
It. Yeah. I just cleaned off my bar cart today, actually, this morning.
Yeah.
I still had loads of bourbon on it.
Yeah.
Just like for my guests at home.
Mm-hmm.
I just cleaned it off today. It's funny that you asked that.
Peace.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I kept, because there's a lot of like $300 bottles.
Yeah.
I still like, I put them in a closet.
Yeah.
I'll just give them away as gifts.
Yeah.
You know.
You're like, hey, you might want this, you know.
Nothing wrong with some re-gifting, you know. Yeah. I'm pretty sure those are all gifts.
Oh, yeah. Those people would absolutely love that.
Yeah.
You know? And Ashley McBride just opened her bar, Redemption. Mm-hmm. That's like the fifth floor of Eric Church's bar. And so they have like an extensive non-alcoholic
cocktail.
Yeah, or fourth floor maybe.
Those bars are that tall now? I haven't been.
Well, his bar, it's like there's like a main floor. Then like 2 through 4 are like this, like a mini theater. Then there's her bar, and then there's a rooftop.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have ticketed events down there and stuff like that.
It's awesome. It's super nice. But her bar, like it's like, I was just there the other day. And so it's like plenty of stuff to drink where, and there's a little stage, and it's a cool hang.
It's a sober bar?
Well, they have alcohol there too, but the drink menu was all like non-alcoholic first. Mm. So it's like, because she told the story where she was at ACM or something, and everyone's hanging out at the bar afterwards, and she was not drinking, and she was like, well, I don't want to sit in this hotel room by myself. So she went downstairs to hang with everybody, and she was like, hey, do you have anything non-alcoholic? And the bartender's like, why the fuck would you want something non-alcoholic? You're at a bar, have a drink. And she, you know, and she was telling the story, and I was just like, Jesus Christ.
Bro. How long has she been sober?
I don't know. A year? 2 years, something?
It's become like a popular thing now.
I think a lot of people are getting into wellness now.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are drinking less.
Not even just in music.
Yeah, and a lot of people are like working out more. And like I've noticed it, like at least in our touring world, it seems that way.
I wonder why.
It's bad for you.
It's alcohol's poisonous.
Yeah.
But why like the sudden?
More information, I think.
Yeah. That's
true. I think more information, and I think culturally the younger generation is like, why are we doing that? It's so expensive.
Money.
It's like on 21 Jump Street whenever he's got the like really dope muscle car.
Yeah.
And he pulls into the high school and it's like everybody's like, dude, that's, you're not saving gas, man. Like,
yeah,
polluting
totally.
The earth.
Yeah, you're killing the environment.
Yeah.
No, and I think that's a part of it too. I mean, culture just changes too, man.
Yeah.
You know, like in my head, that's a big part of it is just society is leaning more into other things. It's wellness and honestly, legal marijuana in certain states too. You know what I mean? I think that has something
marijuana.
To do with it as well.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like that's like an alternative for people now that's not when you do it outside, you can go to jail. You know what I mean?
That's what they say.
Yeah, I think that's
like I've done it a bunch outside and like nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody didn't go to jail yet. Yeah, but I think that's part of it as well. But I think the information, right? Like when I was a kid, it was the cool thing to do and you were sneaking it because the parents all did it. And you know what I mean? And it's like you started very young and then you're done. And for me, like, it helped me soothe the noise and stuff like that. It made social interactions easier. It's like, you know, but then it can become a crutch.
That's what I used it for, was to be social and like be loose on stage.
Yeah.
That was one of the hardest adjustments, was being on stage without it.
Yeah.
Because like the first show that I had after I completely got sober, that was the first sober show I'd ever played.
Yeah.
And it was in Vegas.
Crazy.
The land. Yeah, of dude. If you could do it there, you can do it anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Man.
Well, congrats to you, man. That's badass.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Thank
you. It's cool to see that, man. And I mean, honestly, like everybody's journey is different, you know?
Everybody.
And it's great that you identified that it was something that you wanted to change and changed it, man. It's important.
Yeah, I had to, man.
Yeah.
I definitely had to. And then I got blessed afterwards. Dude, I met my wife not too long after that. And like,
yeah.
And she just happened to have gotten sober like 2 months before she met me.
Great.
It was like, there's like a month difference in the sobriety thing us.
And then you guys get to go on that journey together, which makes it easier, you know?
Yeah, whenever y'all both are sober, it definitely makes it easier. Yeah. Like a situation where one is trying to be sober and the other one drinks a bunch, I feel like that would be tougher. Chaotic.
Yeah. Like, well, you're seeing it all the time and you're like, ugh, you know, that'd be tough.
Yeah.
And then you have someone on the journey with you that like is experiencing the same things as you, and you know what I mean? You can relate how you're feeling to them and they can relate how they're feeling to you. You know, it's like, I think that's super powerful. And again, like sometimes things happen for a reason. That might be exactly why you guys found each other. You know?
Probably, man.
Which is sick.
She just happened to be all the way in Canada.
Yeah. Well, you fixed it now.
It was tough to fix, but I fixed it.
Yeah.
Freaking A. But that's part of the process.
Yeah. 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 Well, it's a different country, even though it's so close, you know?
It is like the same, almost. Yeah. It's like, I don't know if y'all can put this on the podcast or not, but I call it Kirkland Brand America.
Yeah.
You can put that on the podcast. Absolutely.
You go up there and everybody looks the same. Yeah. And the landscape looks pretty similar.
Yeah.
But it's just like certain things suck.
Well, there's this magical line that like they just identified and drew across the world. Yeah, yeah. And that's where countries start and that's where states start.
Yeah. They got some issues up there.
Oh, every country does.
Every country does. You're right.
Yeah. Every country does.
I remember I didn't know the metric system very well at first. Mm-hmm. Whenever I first went up there, I saw like the gas sign said like 167. I was like, hell yeah. Dang, that's so cheap.
Yeah.
And it said per liter. I was like, okay, well, what is a liter? And I remember the moment whenever I like calculated it. I was like, wait a minute. That's like $4.50 a gallon.
Not cheap.
Not cheap. No.
That happens though.
Yeah. You know?
Well, let's talk about other recent single too. So Over the River. That's the most recent one.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that. Who wrote that? Who produced it?
It was me, Hunter Phelps, and Michael Lawton that wrote it.
Sick.
Me and my ex-manager, Lex, co-produced it together. Yeah, it's a moonshine song about back home.
Yeah.
So
the old days.
The old days, man. Yeah. Yep. Moonshine is one of the only, like, liquids that I miss sometimes.
Yeah.
But dang, man, I don't miss, like, the way it makes you feel the next day.
Horrible. Like, yeah.
The worst.
Yeah. One of Luke's first singles was Moonshine. And like so people,
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. And so people would always bring Moonshine on the bus and stuff like that. And it'll get you fucked up.
That gets dangerous quick.
Yeah.
No, I remember listening to that song in a tractor, like before I ever started
writing
or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. I remember watching him on Vine. He had like a ponytail, I think, right?
Yeah.
Like longer hair, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
It was like a ponytail coming out of his hat. Y'all remember that?
I don't know.
He had like a few thousand followers whenever I first found him on Vine. Because I used to like scroll through Vine all the dang time. Because it's only 6 second videos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was making those 6 second videos and everybody was like blowing up on him.
Popping. Yeah.
And I was like, this dude can sing, man. Like, and back then it was more about a lot about looks in the industry. I was like, man, he's got the voice, but I don't know if he's got the looks. Because I didn't know how the industry worked back then, but I was like, I think you probably have to have a look.
The industry didn't know how the industry worked back then. Yeah. They thought it worked one way, and then he came around.
Well, I remember
he changed the game in a good way, man.
Yeah, like, totally.
100%. Where it's about talent, more than anything else. Like I don't know if it permanently changed it to that, but he made it like more possible.
Yeah, he set
like
a precedent.
Yeah, dude, I think it's all swings. This whole industry, all music, comes back and circles back around. You know, we're seeing the 90s traditional revolution kind of coming back. You know what I mean? Like, we're seeing rock and roll music start to kind of like toss up a little bit more.
Yeah, all these like old, I guess not old, like bands that we grew up on
yep.
are coming back and making music again.
Yeah, which is cool.
I noticed that the other day. I was talking to Sasha about it. I was like, is this a new record from 10 years?
Yeah.
They haven't released music in like
10 years.
20 years.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it's pretty good.
Yeah. It's cool, man. And
Papa
it's
Roach
like,
is strong now. Like,
yep.
Yeah, they have a song like Carrie Underwood or something. I was like, what?
That's so wild.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there, but I'm glad it happened. Mm-hmm. But I wish like System of a Down would start making more
same, bro.
Music and stuff.
They're sick.
Yeah.
They're
sick.
That was one of my favorite bands growing up.
Yeah, yeah, same. And then when I think about Sean Stemley, I mean, just you as a person, as well as like songs that have kind of like defined the brand, Z71 is right there, man.
Yep.
And I know there's some fun stuff coming up with that. Why don't we talk a little bit about that?
So I finally got the opportunity to re-record it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this hasn't really been done in country a whole lot, like re-recording songs, but mm-hmm. I'm still going to do it.
Yeah.
Just because it would be nice, like, to see what we could do with it and to own the masters as well.
Yeah.
So we made three different versions of it, and we're going to release it on October 3rd, I think, now.
Sick.
So I'm excited about it, man. One of the versions I'm especially really excited about.
Break down the versions for us.
So there's the OG version, mm-hmm. just like my version of like co-producing what I thought I think it should sound like. Mm-hmm. And then I did like a remix version because I always figured that it would be cool if a rapper was on it.
Yeah.
And I'm always down to like try new things in music.
Yeah.
Because like if it don't sound good, we can just scrap it.
Yep.
That's the worst that can happen.
Yeah.
So I asked my buddy Colt Graves to be on it, and he killed it. Like, I asked him to feature on it at like 10 a.m. and at 6 p.m. He's like, all right, I'm done. I got the verse.
Crazy.
I was like, dude, it hasn't even been like a whole evening yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, he was super stoked about it, and it ended up sounding really good. It was the first time that we've tried to produce something like it.
Yeah.
Like,
that
I've never tried to produce anything with 808s and like hip hoppy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And also trying to make it sound like the song still. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
It was a process, but it sounds good.
That's sick.
And then I think we're going to do an acoustic version.
Cool.
Yeah. We did a garage series a few years ago of like the original song. And it was like an acoustic version of it, but it was live recorded.
Yeah.
And ever since then, people have been like, why can't you put this out? Like, is this on iTunes? Blah, blah. So I figured I'd give them that.
I love that.
Yeah. It's just kind of, that song is like a, I don't even know what the word is for it. It's a huge part of my career.
Oh, yeah. And so, I think one of the most on-brand songs you've ever done. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You were a truck guy before you even did country music.
That was the goal with that song, was to write a truck song that wasn't, like, tailgates.
Yeah.
Having a girl out in a field.
Right.
Making love to her out in a field, all that kind of stuff. Like, yep. I was like, let's write a truck song in the language of the people that are in the audience.
Yeah.
Like, they got diesel trucks. They put EFI Live on them, delete the emissions off of them, even though now it's illegal.
That's what you do.
Like, that's what I call it Bubba.
Yeah.
Like, dudes that work hard, pay for the tickets,
yep.
come to see you, pay for the music. Those are the people that matter.
That's the fan base.
I don't write music for people here.
Yeah.
Like, I write it for the people that we got to go see everywhere else besides here.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of take precedent over just here.
I agree. And honestly, there's a history in country music of recutting songs, too. There really is.
Is there?
Like, yeah. Like, I mean, Devil Went Down to Georgia and other songs associated with Charlie Daniels, he recorded multiple times.
Did he really?
Yeah. Even like guys like Willie Nelson would do things like that. They'd do alternate versions that they could then put on like collab records and stuff like that, like for other people.
Yeah.
So there is a history in country music. It hasn't been done a ton recently. But there is a history historically in country music of that.
Like, yeah.
Going back and recutting songs.
I'm going to have to research it a little more because it's been a whole thing of like, I've been talking to my team, like, how are we going to market this? Like, how do we explain that we're redoing a song that's already been out for 4 years?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
That's a little different marketing than the normal thing.
Just do whatever Taylor Swift did.
Yeah.
That's different, though. Yeah. That's different. She got, like, a cult fan base. Like,
yeah.
Anything she puts out. She could put out her spit in Copenhagen into a cup. Yeah. And they'd listen to it and be like, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
No, it's true. Yeah. I never thought about it from that side either, like the marketing side. That's an interesting thing. Maybe I'll think on that.
It's been on my mind heavy for, like, the past month. I'm like, how are we going to do this to where it's, like, because I don't want to seem like I'm, like, trying to stick it to the man or anything. No, like, I don't really give a shit about that.
Taylor,
like,
was.
Taylor was. Yeah. Well,
it's...
I guess it is the same situation, kind of. Not really, but...
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's about art.
Yeah.
And this is your art. It's your song, right? And if you think that there is a way that you want to express that art that is different than how you're currently having it, by gosh, that's what you should be doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's kind of like... holding over for the rest of the year, like, now that we've recorded that, and we re-recorded another song too.
Yeah.
While I write for something else that's, like, early next year.
Yeah.
Just because, like, these days I write mostly by myself. Mm-hmm. Either that or I'll, like, write verse choruses and take them in and then finish them with somebody. And
yeah.
So it's a little slower process. Like, I used to write, like, 4 songs a week.
Right.
Now it's, like...
I remember those days.
It just depends on the week now. I'm also trying to navigate that part with the being married thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. If anybody's got any advice on how to manage your time really well, let me know. But.
Well, I think I'm sure it's all about balance. I've never been married, so I can't really say. But
it is all about balance.
Yeah. I think that's an important part. Yeah.
Yeah.
But in my head, the re-recording, it's been done historically, and it's cool to have another expression. And in my mind, I'm like, if this person now finds you, if they weren't a Sean Stemmeley fan before, and now through shows or through your next project that comes after it, if they come to your catalog and hear it, now they can hear it, and they can hear it the way that you had decided that is the way you want to present it, you know? And they can still go hear it the way it was presented previously, you know? But it just gives them more options for it. I think it's the same basis as kind of like the acoustic take on it and the full take on it. Yeah. You know, so many artists have done acoustic songs when they did the full production side of it, because the song has a different vibe based on how you produce it, how you mix it even. So like just giving options to those fans. And in my head, it's like those future fans, you know, the people that are finding you next from your next show, from your next body of work that you put out and drives more new people to it. Like, I think it's like a cool thing for that.
Yeah.
And also there's like, we've had people on the pod that are like, yeah, like all of a sudden this song from my catalog from way back in the day is like blowing up again. Or like, it'll be like Randy Travis Digging Up Bones is going viral now.
Yeah.
Cause it's like incredible music, but people haven't heard it recently. Yeah. And even if they had, they don't remember it because our brains are all shriveled up from being on social media all the time. So it's like just another opportunity to have something that has proven success just kind of work again.
Yeah.
It's different these days with music. Like,
yes.
My little cousin, he's like 20, I think now, 19. He listens to like Alice in Chains.
Mm-hmm. It's bad.
Like, good for him.
I didn't think that like that generation, I thought they just listened to mumble rap.
No.
But
dude, it's circled back. And if you think about it, you can almost tell why. It's those kids that listened to Alice in Chains all those years ago are now the parents of the 20-year-olds.
True.
You know? So if you think about it like that, it's what their parents listened to feeding to them.
Yeah.
You know? It's like Fox and Veed's parents listen to Incubus.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel old as fuck.
Or Audioslave.
Yeah.
You know? Like, they have a song that sounds very Audioslave.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, but that, like we talk about everything circling back around. Like, that's circling back around right now. Grunge rock, I feel like, got skipped. And now it's like kind of having a moment. And it's honestly having a moment in country and country adjacent stuff. If you're listening to guys like Co Wetzel and, you know, like even like Treaty Oak a little bit, you know, you'll hear those elements of that, like, grunge rock mix with the elements of like traditional, like straight down the center Texas country.
The Texas people are bringing back that stuff.
100%. Some of it. Yeah. But there's other rock bands too that are just straight up rock bands that are kind of bringing that back too. We had a band called Passengers Unknown. They're from Texas, but they're just a rock band. You know, it's I think you're starting to see rock bands come back together more so than they had maybe for the last like 15 years. And I think that's a resurgence of it too, is like you're hearing things that sound more similar to the Deftones than they sound to the rock music that's been releasing the last 10 years, yep. You know, which in my head's freaking sick because I love the Deftones, you know,
who also just put out a new record.
Yeah. Yeah, really? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's good.
I wonder what the spark is, man. Like
ticket sales. That's really what the spark is.
Are they all touring too?
Yeah. Yeah. The Deftones hadn't been touring for years. They were just doing like one show a year out in Cali. And then maybe a couple other sprinkled. Now they're touring again.
I think music is one of those things you never really quit, though. Like, yeah. Until you're at the point where you just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you're never fully retired. I feel like all these bands are always like, this is our farewell tour.
Like and then Kiss they do another
one. Yeah. And then another one. And then another one. Like, how many times are you going to say goodbye?
Yeah. Well, if it pays the bills as many times as they ask you to. Yeah. You know? Like, that's part of it, too.
I could see how you could go through this and never quit. Because it's a high unlike any other high.
He talks about that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like better than any high that you could feel, really.
Yeah.
So you just like crave it and crave it. And I could see if you retired for like 10 years, you would want to come back to it.
Yeah.
You know, because you just you live on the road for so long and it's like action packed all the time.
Yeah.
Doing all this cool stuff all the time. And then you just like relax a little bit and you're like, wait a minute, this isn't really entertaining anymore.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't fun.
Yeah. It's like, if I'm on the road for too long, then I'm like, I need to go home. And when I'm home, I'm like, I got to get out on the road.
Exactly.
Yeah. You get that itch.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Kurt have talked extensively because, you know, I don't really, the biggest stages I've been on is for 30 seconds introducing a band, you know? But, you know, him like coming back from doing a freaking stadium tour and just how you feel.
Yeah, that right there would be crazy.
It's fucking wild, bro.
The stadium stuff's wild, man. That's a cool thing.
Yes,
what's the biggest crowd you played in front of?
Probably like 80,000 people. Yeah, 75, 80. So crazy. With that Pitt, Penn State show, probably. Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah, it's fucking monstrous, bro. Weird. You know, I was watching this interview with Ray Charles, and he's like, man, I always give it my all, whether it's for 35 people or 3,500 people. I'm like, that's it? I'm like, that's like Coyote Joe's. Yeah. Like, just shows have just grown so much. I feel like, you know, there's a lot more touring stadium acts than there used to be, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Or at least in the country world.
Yeah, country, you know, is extremely like large
Morgan
right now.
Morgan, Zach, and Luke.
Yeah.
It's definitely
it used
more
to just
popular.
Be Garth, you know?
Or And then it was just George.
Yeah.
You know, then it was just Kenny.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even like when like Luke Bryan got big, he'd do a couple stadiums, but he wasn't doing all stadium tour.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
And like Al Dean would do like a couple baseball parks, but it wasn't like that was.
Yeah. Like Atlanta or something.
Yeah. So it's in my head, it's the top end is the biggest in country music that it's been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The genre is wild, you know, but it's all.
Not everybody wants to be in the country world.
That's how it works.
Hey, it's a good world.
Yeah. Yeah. Melody and well-written songs.
Storytelling. Yeah.
Storytelling. Yeah. Like, that's the basis of country music, and that's the basis of good music in my head, you know?
I'm glad everybody's come to their senses. That's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. Yeah. So October 3rd, that's the day to remember. Be on the lookout for some new Sean Stemley music, right?
Yes, sir.
Hell yeah.
Well, man, thank you for popping back in here on the podcast with us, and dude, can't wait to have it again.
Yeah, man. Thank
you
for having me.
Not too long since the last one to this one. We got to do it more often, bro.
Hey, we started out on a Riverside with a tape recorder. I don't know what that was. H4, it was some kind of box.
Little H4.
Yeah.
And H4.
Yeah.
Now we got Z71.
Yeah.
Now look at y'all. You're in a dang studio now.
Hey, it's a little bit more expensive, and we got cameras now, which is great. But the heart's still the same. Yeah. You know, we still... just people that love country music, man.
As long as you keep it that way.
That's it. Yep,
that's all that matters.
That's it.
Thank y'all for having me.
Of course, bro. Appreciate you.
Well, guys, that was the Rage Rowdy Podcast. I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon. We'll see you on the front row.